This is a wonderful time of the year. Just a great time as we reflect on the Lord Jesus Christ, His birth, His purpose for coming into the world. And then we come to the time after Christmas. And it can be a great time as well. And I'd like for us to look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. As we consider the life that we have in Christ and living this life that Christ has given to us. The author of the book of Hebrews was writing to a group of people who had gone through or were going through a very difficult and trying time in their lives. Persecution. It's also possible that they'd gone through persecution and they were kind of complacent and relaxed. They needed to be encouraged in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ and how to live that life. And so what we're looking at this morning is this life that God's given to us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This life that we have, that we possess, how do we live it on a daily basis? How do I take this life that God has so graciously given to me? And how do I live it out, starting at this very moment and the rest of the days that God's given to me? And this is given to us in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So before we study, let's pray that the Lord would teach us by His Spirit. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time of worship, and I trust that in our singing and the studying of Your Word, the praying, the giving of tithes and offerings, everything that we have accomplished to this point has been pleasing and honoring to Your holy and majestic name. And Father, as we come to study Your Word, I would ask that You keep the evil one from us, that You help us to focus on Your Word, and You have a message for each one of us here today, and may You give us that by Your Holy Spirit. Give us understanding and application of Your Word in our lives this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's Holy Word. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's look carefully at this passage here. The word therefore points us back to chapter 11. Chapter 11 is the roll call of the faithful, where the author has listed many faithful saints all in the Old Testament that walked before God and lived before Him as God directed them. And so we see how God has placed people in our lives to be witnesses to us, to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. Now, in the context, this refers to the Old Testament saints, but God has placed people in your life and in mine along our way to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. And you know what? Someday we'll be a part of that great cloud of witnesses. And the life that you and I are living today, we are encouraging those around us as well. So don't think, well, this is just these Old Testament people and we all need to listen to this. No, this is speaking to us as to those people God has placed before us for an example. And what example are we being to those around us? So we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, witnesses about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the instructions of what to do now that we have these witnesses and we are part of them. The first thing it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely to us. Let us lay aside. Let us. You and I have a responsibility before God personally to lay aside. Now, what does it mean to lay aside? Lay aside means to put away from oneself. Get it away from you. Not just to put it down by the side where you can reach and pick it back up again. It's to get rid of it. Lay it aside. What are you and I supposed to lay aside? Every weight. What a word to use after Christmas. Weight. Come on. It's in the providence of God. Presbyterians believe that. Weight is actually a hindrance. It's a hindrance. It's a spiritual hindrance that causes us not to grow spiritually. What is it in your life and mine that is inhibiting spiritual growth? Sin, this weight is real. It's not just a theological ideology. It is real. And it hinders our growth, our spiritual growth. And you and I, this nation is so conscious on physical health and being fit. How about spiritual health and being spiritually fit? What is hurting me spiritually? Why do I see in some of these witnesses that are alive today, they seem so close to the Lord and I'm not? That's a good question to ask. And it's a good thing to answer as well. Lord, you show me by your Spirit what's causing me to be super slow in growth or not growing at all spiritually. So put it aside. Get it away from you. Get it away from you. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now let's look at the word sin. It's a good word. It's only a good word. It's not a good thing to do. Sin literally means rejecting God and asserting self. Rejecting God and asserting self. This is a general word for sin. Normally this word is defined as missing the mark. And that's true. It causes us to miss the mark. But there's a little deeper meaning in here. What causes us to miss the mark? When I was in the Air Force, I had to qualify on M16s. And we had to go to the firing range and they stuck me in there, and I don't even know if I hit the target the first time, you know. And the DI came, "Trucks, what's wrong with you?" And I told him, "I can't see the end of the rifle." Shouldn't have told him that, you know. He had a few things to say back to me. I said, "Well, let me try it left-handed." So they put me down with three or four other guys who were left-handed. I didn't hit the bullseye, but at least I hit the target. Because I could see the sights at the end of the rifle. And what causes us to miss God in our lives is sin. And it's thinking more about ourselves and we know better than God and we do it our way. As opposed to being open to the Spirit of God moving in us and showing us this weight and showing us this sin that's causing us not to grow spiritually. And so I would encourage all of us here at the end of the year of 2014, to reflect back on this year and look at the spiritual growth that you've had. Look what the Lord has done in our lives. And then be aware of, well, I've rejected God here and it caused me a lot of trouble and I didn't follow His Word here. And I did what I wanted to do here. And there's the sin. I reject God. I reject His Word. And I put myself there, and I put my own desires, and that causes me to miss His mark. Because we can't see spiritually because we're so focused on self. So we need to lay aside this whatever sinful condition or attitude or thought or practice that we're doing that hampers us spiritually. And we need to be honest with ourselves and look at my life and say, this is where I believe I'm smarter than God and I know better than God and I'm doing it my way and I'm wrong. That's got to go. We lay that aside. We lay aside every weight and every sin. Now, the word every is very important there because it means each one. The word every means each one. I have to look at my life categorically, and I have to look at each sin, each weight, and I got to get rid of it. So that word every is very important. And notice we have to lay that aside. And this weight and sin, Scripture tells us, clings so closely. Clings so closely. Sin is very active, very aggressive. It's a spiritual condition that is very harmful to the believer. To the non-believer, they're dead spiritually. That's how seriously sin is. They're spiritually dead, and they can't do anything. But you and I in Christ are alive, and we recognize sin. We discern it. And yet it tries to wrap us up and control us, gives us wrong desires, wrong thoughts. And it tries to control and manipulate us. That's the danger of sin. And you know, you and I can think, oh man, I can handle this sin. It's not that bad. No, it might not be. But if you and I do it enough, then sin becomes a habit. And now we're into willfully and intentionally sinning against God, which is going to hurt you and me personally in our relationship with Christ. It's a dangerous spiritual condition, sin and this weight. And it must go for us to be spiritually strong. You know, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, but you and I can't be light and salt with sin, and we're not growing spiritually. So it's got to go. He says, get rid of it. Notice he says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us run. That's an interesting verb there. It's a conditional verb. It means we might not run. And that's true. We might not. I might choose to do it my way. And that's rejecting God and asserting myself. But he said, let us run. And it means, the way this verb is written, it means we run every day. It doesn't mean I run this race just on Sunday only. I run it every day. It's 24/7. And so as we run this race, notice the race that is set before us. To set before someone is a passive verb, which means somebody is setting this race other than myself. Who is it? It's God the Father. He sets the race. He sets the race. We run it, but He sets it. But what's the difference between fatalism and predestination? Oh, well, que sera, sera. Life gives it to me. There's nothing I can do about it. I just got to roll with it and make the best of it. I can't do anything about it. That's fatalistic. Now, what is the providence of God? What is predestination? What's God's role in this? And He has a very significant role in it. Because in Christ, He is our Heavenly Father. And He's going to set our race that's going to challenge us, but it's going to cause us to depend on Him more and more. It's going to cause us to keep focused on Him. And we will be spiritually strong as a result of it. You remember the teachers you had when you were going through school, and maybe some of you who are still in school? You remember those teachers that were mean? Those are the teachers you learned the most under. They were disciplined, they were strict, and they set the bar high, and they didn't lower it. And we had a fear of those teachers, a deep respect, and we tried to sign up with classes that they weren't teaching. Right? Don't get Miss So-and-so. But God is a loving Heavenly Father. And He wants us to be like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's going to conform us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes that might be very challenging in our lives. But never forget this thing. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father and He will give you another Comforter who will teach you all things and help you to remember all things. God just didn't say, okay, this is what I require of you, go do it. He walks with us every step of the way. He whispers in our ear, you know that sin, what are you thinking? Why are you desiring that? Why are you running with those people? I can handle this, God. Back off. I'm having fun. No, He's there with us. He's not calling us to do something and to be something we are not able to be or to do. Because by His Holy Spirit, He enables us. And so He sets that race before us. What you and I have experienced in this year, and we still have a few days left, everything you and I have experienced in this year has been given to us through the hand of God. And that purpose is to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29. For whom He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's God working in you and working in me. So we run this life that He set before us. And He clearly has set this life before us. This race, it's a race. The word race, there's another word in the Greek in there that means struggle. You know, have you ever seen a runner smile? Have you ever seen anybody jogging? No, they look like they're going to die. So why run? You know? But it's getting them in shape. And sometimes God makes us run uphill, spiritually speaking. Some years ago, I ran in a 5K. It's the only race I've ever run in and I ever will run in. And it was through Homewood, and it was going through a certain neighborhood in Homewood, and I saw this little hill, and I've driven up that thing thousands of times. I can take this thing. Man, I was sucking wind by the time I got to the top of that hill. The good news, it was a walk-run race, so I walked for about 3 blocks and got my wind back. But that hill was there. And I learned running up that hill a lot. And God places a hill in front of us every now and then. It might hurt. It might challenge. But it's for your good and it's for my good. So we run it. And we look to Him. Because when we cry out, He is always there. So we run the race that is set before us. Now look at verse 2. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking. The verb to look there is in the present tense, so it means we're always looking to Jesus. And that means to take, the verb there, to look, means to take your eyes off one thing and put it on another. To take your eyes off one thing and put it on another. There are so many distractions in our lives this day and time to keep us from being focused on Christ. I mean, it's amazing everything that we have demanding our time, demanding our attention. And the squeaky wheel gets the grease. And a lot of times God doesn't squeak. But He speaks in a still, quiet voice. And we are to look to Jesus. We're always to look to Jesus. Now look at that preposition, to. A lot of times we'll overlook those prepositions. They're very important. In this context, in the way this is written here, that preposition means a divine appointment. You ever consider your life a divine appointment? It is. God puts the race that is set before us. He directs us by His Holy Spirit. Hey, your being here for worship this morning was a divine appointment. I'm glad you all made it. I'm glad you wanted to be here. And it's been shown by your response and the way you have sung these hymns and the way you have read the Apostles' Creed. Every time you've had the opportunity to participate in worship, you've done it and done it with your heart. It's a divine appointment. Looking unto Jesus. Now, it defines Jesus as the King James says, author and finisher of our faith. The ESV says founder. The word literally is the originator. Jesus, the originator of our faith. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, we're told we're dead in trespasses and sin. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. The faith that you and I have to believe in Christ is given to us by God. He is so gracious to send His Son into the world to die for our sin and to raise Him from the dead. And then He also gives us the ability to believe in Him. It's all by grace. And He gives that to us. He is the originator of our faith. That faith comes from Him. So He is the author and originator and perfecter of our faith. Now, perfecter is an interesting word. That word literally means to bring the faith to its highest potential. To bring faith to its highest potential. Once again, we've all had mentors in our lives that challenged us big time and pushed us. And as a result of being pushed and challenged, we're stronger spiritually. And we're thankful that somebody pushed us and challenged us because it made us stronger spiritually and closer to the Lord. And that's what Jesus does. He perfects that faith. He enables us to trust Him more and more and more with every aspect of our lives. And as a growing Christian, as spiritually growing, you and I should be learning, Lord, I can't do this. I can't do this. You've got to show me how. You've got to help me how. And He does. He really does. And He brings that faith to a level that you and I just trust Him more and more and more with every aspect of our lives. A few weeks ago, I was up at the gym walking, and I was walking laps, and I was praying and just saying, Lord, I just don't know. I just don't know. And he said, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not in your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. And I said, I'm doing that. And he said, no, you're not. You're trying to figure this out on your own. You're trying to handle that church on your own, and you can't do it. Well, it took me two more laps before I was humbled enough to say, yeah, you're right. You're right. I am trying to pull this off and I can't. Help. And I'm trusting Him. I'm trying to trust Him more and more with more of my life. And that's running the race that is set before us. Trusting Him with every aspect of this race and this life that you and I have. Where are you trusting? Where are you not? He'll show you. And He'll be gracious in it. But He perfects that faith. When we trust Him, He takes care of it. And we see Him take care of it. We have that strength. We have that wisdom. We have that knowledge. He calms us down. He gives us peace. He gives us joy. And then our faith is strengthened. You know, we cry for more faith. You don't need any more faith. Jesus said if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move. Take what God's given to you and use it. Exercise it. That's what we need to do. He's the perfecter of it. And that's what He'll do. He will perfect that faith. Now, how does He perfect it? Let's turn to James chapter 1. Just turn over a few pages to James chapter 1. And I want us to look at James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. This is where we all live. This is where we all struggle. We're going to look at this verse because it'll really help us out in our walk with the Lord. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Yeah, right. Yeah, I'm going to just shout for joy. Lord, hit me again. I just love this. Slap me one more time. The testing of your faith, the trials, you've got to understand that word test and the word trial. It means to prove worthy. It means to test that faith to the point that it's real to you and it will be strengthened. Any of you going through tests right now? Any of you being tried right now? Imagine that most of us are. Are you and I going to endure it? Look what the results of these tests are. It says, knowing that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect. Most people, when they get in a trial, they pray for patience. Don't ever pray for patience. Well, you won't find the word patience in here. You find the word steadfastness. Patience means God tests me more and more to make my faith strong. Put more tests on me. How many of us want to do that? When I was in seminary, we had to take oral exams. And there were four of us in my group. And we had missed three of the four questions. And the professor just stopped and he said, "Hey guys, what's wrong with you? You're good students. Why are you doing this?" I said, "You're asking the wrong questions." I was the Peter in the group. You know, the other guy's just sitting there. Well, somebody's got to say something. I said, "Well, you're asking the wrong questions." And he said, "What do you mean?" And I said, "We studied this way, and you're asking this way." He said, "Okay, one more question, all or nothing." I said, "Yeah, we'll go for it." They like to kill me. "What do you mean we'll go for it?" So he asked that one question, and we had a great time with him answering that question, interacting. But we asked for the test. And I don't mind telling you, I was scared half out of my wits by doing that. I've never asked for another test, and I never will. I don't ask for tests. But it says, testing brings steadfastness. The word steadfastness means perseverance. It means staying the course regardless of how difficult it gets. Staying the course regardless of how difficult that race can become. So you're not praying for God to test you more and more. You're praying for the spiritual strength to get through what He's doing and to grow spiritually in it. And this is what you and I need to be praying for. When we have these tests, when that race of life gets so challenging and so difficult, we don't run away from God. We run to Him. And we ask for His wisdom. Lord, help me to understand this. Give me the ability to keep moving forward. And we run and we do move forward. And the faith is strengthened. And God takes care of whatever circumstance or situation we're in, which causes us to trust Him more and more in our lives. Because He proves that He is a God that doesn't lie, but He fulfills every promise He's given to you and to me. So brothers and sisters, we're running a race. We're in it. And we're going to be in it until God says, okay, you've run, you've done well, you've finished this race, you're coming home. You've crossed the finish line. Sometimes I pray for that line to come quickly. Godfrey passed it this morning at 4 o'clock. He's with the Lord. He's finished his race. You and I are still running. And we'll continue to run in the providence of God until He says, you finished your race. But how do you and I run it? Looking unto Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith. So brothers and sisters, keep running. Keep looking to Jesus in every circumstance, in every situation. To Him, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. That's biblical truth. And that's what I encourage you to do. A few days in this year, and as we look forward to the year 2015, God's got it planned. God's got our race into that year. We're going to go for it. And as we go for it, we're going to be looking to Jesus Christ. And we're going to see how He's going to continue to perfect our faith. And if any of you here do not know Christ as your personal Savior, you don't know what that means. You don't know how to have a relationship with Christ. It's admitting that you're a sinner, that Jesus died for your sin and was raised from the dead, and you ask Him to forgive you your sin and you trust in Him as Savior. You trust in Him alone. If you have any questions along those lines, I'd love to talk to you after this worship service. Brothers and sisters, there it is. There's the life. There's the race. You're running it. I'm running it. Keep it up. Be strong. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for this time to worship you and to praise your holy name. To study your word, to be taught by your Holy Spirit. You've spoken to everyone in this room today. You've given us a message by your Holy Spirit from your word. Now I pray, Father, that each of us will walk in obedience to that message. And as we walk looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. So, Father, as we sing this closing hymn, may we make the commitments in our hearts that you've called us to make. And may we walk faithfully with you day in and day out. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn is, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Great hymn. Focuses is on Christ. Shall we stand and sing this hymn? Remember these words. Wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you, now and forevermore. Amen.